Hey there, mama. You're listening to the Lift the Shame podcast. I'm your host, Crystal, mama of five and your family's intuitive eating dietitian, here to help you cut through the diet culture clutter so you can enjoy freedom with food as a family. I'm on a mission to help you end the generational legacy of diet culture in your home so you can experience motherhood free from food guilt and body shame. Listen in weekly for guidance on how you can ditch diet culture, heal your relationship with food in your body, and confidently raise intuitive eaters. Let's dive in and lift the shame together. Hey there, mama. Welcome back to the show. I am so glad that you're here, and I'm really excited for today's episode. I feel like I say that every week, but truly today's topic is something that I'm really passionate about helping moms through, and that is navigating the triggers that we might feel or experience, particularly when it comes to feeding our children or navigating body changes with our children. So as you can imagine, as with all of our episodes, this is a layered topic, and I want to help kind of peel some of this away to support you in managing some of those triggers that might come up for you in order to be able to support your children in internalizing a message and a belief from you that is centered on trust. And trust is a common theme that we talk about here on the show, and it is fundamental to supporting you in raising intuitive eaters. And this can be really hard to extend to our children for many different reasons. One big one being, you know, if you have struggled with a difficult relationship with food and your body, if you have felt that your body is not something that can be trusted, it can be hard to extend trust to your own children. And in the same lens, if you experienced, you know, different messages around food growing up or your body, maybe you heard different things from your primary caregivers growing up that caused you to internalize the belief that your own body couldn't be trusted or that your body was wrong. Again, those things can show up in this space with feeding your own children. And it really is amazing how feeding our kids can really bring a lot of our old stuff right to the surface. And if we're not aware of it and taking the time to address it and manage some of those things that are surfacing, it can be easy to project those things onto our children. And I know that you're tuning in and listening to this show because you are passionate about shifting away from these cycles of food guilt and body shame. And it is possible to do that. And one important way to start with that is by examining what is coming up for you in this realm of feeding your children and also navigating body changes with your kids as well. So let's talk about this. And, you know, here on the show, I'm passionate about shining light on these topics that I think tend to harbor a lot of shame, and feeling triggered around how our child eats or around their body size. This can be something that we hide or isolate in shame, because a lot of the negative feelings that you may have or that may be coming up for you around how your child eats or maybe what their body is looking like, that can cause you to feel like a bad parent. You know, like you might feel like, I'm a terrible mom for feeling uncomfortable about how my child eats or maybe what their body is looking like. And so because of those feelings, you know, it's easy to keep those thoughts and feelings to yourself and therefore internalizing shame around that. And it's so important to start to break free from these cycles of shame in order to just give you freedom to, you know, build a trusting relationship with your child. And again, I want to just normalize the experience of having feelings, like intense feelings around the way that your child eats or their food preferences or their appetite or, again, their body size. It's not uncommon to experience triggers or feelings of fear or anxiety around these things when it comes to your children. And the more we can talk about this and shed light on it, the more we can help alleviate the shame that you may be feeling around it. And one way to start with that is by normalizing this experience. There is a reason that these feelings may be coming up for you, and it's not because you're a bad parent. It's not because, you know, you're doing something horrible. It's because you're human and you have had real life experiences around food and your body that have shaped a narrative that is protecting you in a lot of ways. And you want to protect your own child from some of the things that you may have experienced growing up around food and your body. And so, you know, that's the first thing, is that I just want to normalize it, that if you have had a lot of strong feelings come up around, again, the way your child is eating, around behaviors that they, you know, engage in around food, or perhaps the way that their body is changing, you are normal and you are okay. That does not make you a bad parent. And I hope you can hear that truth today. And I really want to just dive into this and talk about why you might be feeling triggered, what's coming up for you. And again, I want to specifically focus on this aspect of feeding our kids. When we feel triggered around maybe how our child's eating, or the preferences that they have when it comes to food, or again, their body size, you know, maybe subconsciously you wish that your child would eat in a different way, or eat different foods, or eat less of other foods. Or maybe you have found yourself thinking that you're uncomfortable with the way that your child's body is developing. You know, maybe you subconsciously have those wishes that your child was in a smaller body, or maybe in a larger body. And again, these subconscious desires are all stemming from a trigger. And that trigger comes from, again, something that is deep rooted within ourselves. And when we can start to examine what that is, it becomes easier to separate our children from our own stuff, so that we are not now projecting our experiences, our feelings onto our children. And I want to just examine again here why you may be feeling triggered. And there are some common themes that are definitely going to be showing up for you, especially around mealtimes and especially around your child's body size. So if you feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm hypersensitive to this, or there's definitely things coming up, or maybe this is creating a mental block for you, or making it difficult for you to actually connect or engage with your child in a positive way. Again, you're not alone and there's nothing wrong with you. And when we can start to peel back the layers to decipher like what's coming up for you, it's easier to work through it versus like fight it or hide in shame because of what you're experiencing. So first, why might you be triggered by your child, especially when it comes to food and their appetite and their body size? So one common experience that could potentially be showing up for you here is what we call parallel processing, meaning that there may be some things that your child is going through that are parallel or similar to things that you experienced as a child. And, you know, I'll give you some examples here. So this is a common theme that shows up for a lot of parents. Again, I just want to speak to the fact that you're not alone if you're experiencing this. But a common thing that I see with a lot of parents, and I've definitely experienced this myself as well, is when it comes to your child and how their body is changing, and particularly in the adolescent or pre-adolescent years. And for so many moms that I've worked with and connected with, that has been historically a tricky time, or that time in your own childhood may be associated with food or body trauma, or may have been kind of the origin of eating disorder behaviors or disordered eating or stepping into dieting. And the reason for that is we can trace it back again, like we can see the generational cycles of diet culture and how it shows up. But many caregivers are uncomfortable with how their child's body is changing, especially in those pre-adolescent and adolescent years when body changes are more rapid and more obvious. And instead of embracing it, a lot of caregivers feel like this is something I have to control, or this is something I have to fix. And you may have been a victim of that, right? I know I was, where that time felt so tricky. And instead of having unconditional acceptance around how our bodies were changing, you know, we were told that this is a problem. Your body is wrong. This is something that needs to be fixed, or this is something that needs to be managed. And a lot of us looked for external things to, and I'm saying this in air quotes, help us with the body changes that we were experiencing, rather than having caregivers who could hold space for us and offer us unconditional acceptance of our body changes. And so, I mean, that's just one example, but imagine now your own child going through this tricky phase of pre-adolescence or adolescence, and you may see that your child is going through rapid weight gain, which PSA, this is normal. This is normal. It's normal for children to gain weight, especially in the pre-adolescent and adolescent years. And we are definitely going to have episodes where we talk more about this, but we don't normalize this enough. We don't talk about it enough. And so as a parent, if you see your child going through this, it's going to set off all kinds of internal alarms for you, because that was also a tricky time for you, going through a similar season in your own childhood. And again, it doesn't mean that your child may be going through the same exact things as you are, but maybe seeing your child in a similar body, or maybe you're seeing your child experience similar things, or hearing comments from other people, it can trigger and bring back those old wounds or those old memories that you may not have fully processed through or healed from. And so, of course, your alarm bells are going to be going off. You know, it can intensify your nervous system responses and kind of put you on high alert. And that is, you know, a survival mechanism. Like you're trying to protect yourself and also your child from something difficult that you experienced. And so it's really easy to bring our own experiences into how we parent our children as they go through parallel situations themselves. So this is the idea of parallel processing. And this can be true with food. This can be true with body image. I mean, I see this a lot with food as well, where, you know, let's say that your child has a low appetite or is avoiding eating certain foods, or maybe you have a child who's a more selective eater, and that could be triggering for you for different reasons. You may be parallel processing similar situations that you experienced as a child. Or, you know, kind of on the opposite side, where if you really loved and enjoyed food, or maybe had a high interest in food and was met with reprimand or shutting down, or, you know, again, those messages that you are wrong, your appetite is wrong, your body is wrong. Having those experiences can make it really challenging to now have a child who is going through similar experiences that you may have went through as well. So it's important to just step back and understand this concept of parallel processing and ask yourself, like, when you are feeling triggered, what might be going on? What is your child going through? Or what were those ages that you experienced a tricky time around food and your body? And could there be some potential parallel processing happening with your own children? And this is something I talked about in our reparenting episodes earlier on, and I'll definitely include the link to those shows in the show notes for you if you're interested in going back and listening to those, because a lot of similarities are happening where things are showing up for us that happened in our childhood that are now surfacing because we're seeing similar situations within our own children. So that could be a really big reason why you may be feeling triggered, especially when it comes to your child's appetite and their body sizes. Another reason why triggers can commonly surface is just because of the dieting culture that we live in. And we live in a society that is highly fat phobic. We encounter weight stigma everywhere. The world is incredibly cruel, especially to children who are in smaller bodies and larger bodies. And the other thing that we see here is that body sizes and appearance is highlighted as the most important thing about a person. That is the lens through which diet culture views the world, right? Where it's all this emphasis on your child's body size or on the way that your child looks. And so as a natural response to that, you know, again, it's like that mama bear that's coming out and just wants to protect your child from the cruelty that they may face in the world because of their body size or because of their appetite or how they eat or how they process things. Like, there's so many things there that alone can be so tricky to navigate. And some of us may feel triggered around things that we're seeing in our children because we know innately that in the world, they will face retaliation because of those things. And again, it's really easy to kind of fall into this mindset that my body, my child's body, or my child's appetite is a problem because of the messages that we're constantly being inundated with. And it's important, again, to step back and realize that it's the messaging, it's the society, it's the constructs that we live in that are wrong, not your child's body and not your child's appetite. And really, like, keeping that at the forefront, especially when you find yourself feeling triggered, and, you know, just asking yourself, what are some of the messages that you may have internalized just as a natural result of living in this diet culture society that we all are part of? So, you know, that's a big one there too. Another one that's part of this that kind of all ties in together in terms of why you may be triggered is it has to do with our expectations, and it has to do with, you know, the expectations that we have, particularly around how we think our child should be eating or how we think our child's body should look like. And again, when there is a gap between our expectations and what our child is actually doing or how our child is actually existing, that gap can bring up a lot of discomfort and be very triggering to exist in. It's a hard space to live in. And that's why it's always important to just kind of examine your hidden agendas or unspoken expectations, you know, and ask yourself, like, where are these expectations coming from? Where are those ideas around how you feel like your child should be eating or how you feel like their body should look like? Where are those ideas or those narratives being formed from? And a lot of it stems back to diet culture and kind of the messages that we have internalized growing up and, again, being part of this dieting society. And, you know, it's always helpful to just check your expectations and ask yourself, like, am I feeling uncomfortable because there's a gap here? And I see this a lot with kids' appetites, right? Where we feel like my kid should be eating a certain amount of food, or, you know, my kid should be eating more vegetables or more of this or more of that. And some of it is also rooted in healthism, where it's like we feel like our kid should eat in a certain way in order to be healthy. And in reality, health is influenced by a multitude of factors, many of which are not in our control. And so, you know, it's easy to focus on what our kids are eating or the size of their body as determinants of health, when in reality, those are only very small pieces of the bigger picture of their overall health. So, you know, a lot of this is showing up and could be showing up and again, playing a role in why you may find yourself triggered or uncomfortable when it comes to how your child's eating or, again, their body size. So I want to talk a little bit about when this may be showing up for you and what is happening when it does show up. And these are just some examples. And again, I just want to hold space for you and the different ways that this can be surfacing for you. And this can show up commonly at mealtimes, like when your child is eating and you have kind of a front row seat into how your child's eating or what they're eating, and also just throughout different stages of your child's life, especially as their body is changing. And the times that I tend to see this become more of a prominent issue is especially in the pre-adolescent and adolescent ages, when we tend to see a lot of fluctuations with appetite and also body changes. So, you know, it's really important to just be aware of what's coming up for you. And again, this can look different in different seasons at different times. You know, what's important to understand here is how being triggered is showing up in your feeding relationship with your child. So there's some main themes here that I see that I'd love to share with you just to give you some more awareness in terms of how this may be surfacing for you. But what I tend to see is that when you're feeling triggered around how your child's eating or their body size, this commonly shows up in a form of a hidden agenda. And we talked a little bit about this on last week's episode, but a hidden agenda is a really subtle way in which we operate and try to get our child to eat, or, you know, it's kind of like a way to micromanage our child without directly doing it. You know, it's like a subtle way to come in and try to influence or manipulate either the way they're eating or their body size. And this one can be hard because sometimes it's so subtle that we're not even aware of it ourselves. But really, a hidden agenda is often an attempt to manage the discomfort that we are feeling as a result of the triggers that are showing up for us. And I often say, like, examining if a hidden agenda is present for you can be really eye-opening to help you understand if there's that trigger there and what that trigger can be connected to. And again, remembering that a trigger itself is not a bad thing. In fact, it can be a gift for you to actually do some of this deeper work that's necessary to fully show up for our kids and to be able to offer our children the unconditional acceptance around food and their bodies that they need to be an intuitive eater and to grow into their healthiest selves. And again, so often as parents, triggers are wrapped in shame because they just feel yucky, like, oh, I feel awful that I feel this way about my child. And I want you to think about a trigger showing up for you, like your check engine light on your car, right? Like when your check engine light shows up, that is a sign or a clue that something's going on in your car that needs some attention. And a trigger can very much be the same way, that when that trigger is surfacing for you, whether it's you feel uncomfortable with the food that your child has chosen to eat, or the fact that your child is on, you know, their fourth or fifth Oreo cookie, or that they just tore through a whole bag of Doritos and you're like, oh my gosh, what is happening? What's going on? That trigger, that discomfort that you're feeling, again, is a clue. And when we can lean into that versus trying to fight it or hide it, it really can invite an opportunity for deeper healing within ourselves. And the thing to remember here is that your discomfort is not your child's responsibility to manage. I'll say it again. Your discomfort is not your child's responsibility. And understanding this fact alone can be huge for you to help you shift away from these cycles of food guilt and body shame in your own family. Because again, a lot of us were victims, and I say that in not in a derogatory way, but more so a just broader understanding of what a lot of us went through. But a lot of us grew up with caregivers who didn't know how to manage their own emotions, or who didn't have the emotional skill set to deal with their discomforts around us in an effective way. And so those things got projected on us. And oftentimes as kids, we don't know what to do with that. And so we internalize those things as our fault, our problem. Like, and especially I see this around bodies, right? Where it's like, okay, something's wrong with my body. It's my fault. I need to do something to fix this. And it is such a powerful gift to give to your child when you can recognize that your discomfort that may be surfacing around your child is not for your child to carry. That is not their burden to carry. And again, it's an invitation for you to examine and to do some of this deeper healing work so that those things don't get projected on them. Because we don't want them to pick up on your discomfort and then now internalize those feelings of guilt or shame within themselves. And it's easy to see how the cycle can continue into another generation. But mama, you're not going to let that happen. Like, you're sitting here and listening to this podcast because you want to do something different with your child and you want to learn how to manage what's coming up for you so that it doesn't get projected onto your child. And so it's just, again, important concepts to remember. And going back to my original point here, which is what may be happening as a result of the discomfort that you're feeling. Well, the reason why this can become so dangerous is not just because of the unspoken messages that we may be projecting onto our child, but also the attempts that we may engage in around food with our kids in order to manage our distress and our discomfort. So what I commonly see is those hidden agendas, right? We kind of talked about that a little bit, or an attempt to micromanage your child, whether what they eat, how much they eat. This may look like food policing your child and just generally kind of adapting these maladaptive feeding strategies where you might pressure your child to eat. And again, it can be really subtle. It may not be blatantly obvious, but pressure to eat tactics or restrictive feeding tactics. Again, maybe that hidden agenda is I want my child to eat less because I'm uncomfortable with their body size. And so maybe we don't keep these foods in the house, or maybe I avoid buying certain things, or maybe I'm only letting my child have certain quantities of foods that I feel uncomfortable with them eating. Those are examples of how you may subtly be trying to manage your triggers and the discomfort that is connected with and associated with that trigger. And the good news is that there are many things that you can do to effectively manage your discomfort that is, again, not being projected onto your own child. And, you know, I feel like maybe we could do a whole nother episode on this. And if this topic is resonating with you, I would love to hear from you and just hear your questions about this. Because again, I feel like this is a common experience that we have as parents, especially as parents who may be healing from that difficult or tumultuous relationship with food. And we are so desperate to do differently for our children. And this is often such an important first step that gets mislooked. Like, we want to just have the framework, like, give me the framework, give me what I'm supposed to do, give me the scripts, but we skip this step of examining what's coming up for us. And this is really important, which is why I really wanted to spend time talking about this with you. But as we kind of wrap up this episode, I want to give you just a few things to think about in terms of what you can do to manage those triggers so that, again, it doesn't get projected onto your child. And again, this key theme to remember here is that your child's body or your child's appetite are not problems that you need to fix. And that's what it can feel like when you're in that moment of being triggered, when you feel anxious, when you feel fearful around your child's body size or around their appetite, when you're feeling that discomfort within you. It can feel like their body is a problem or their appetite is a problem that needs to be fixed. And that's where that desire to micromanage or food police kind of swoops right in, because it feels like the solution to the discomfort that you're feeling. But really, the antidote is learning to offer unconditional acceptance of their body size and their appetites, and internalizing a message or a belief of trust within your child so that you can extend that to them and they can then internalize that for themselves. Another thing to remember here is that your child doesn't need to recover from your childhood experiences. And this is a really important point, especially if you went through trauma around food and your body growing up, if you had difficult experiences around food and your body throughout your childhood experience, it can be easy to hold those within yourself and to assume that your child is also going through those same things or will go through those same things. Like, we can project the fears based on our own lived experiences. And this is where I just want to remind you and give you this gentle encouragement, especially if you are in eating disorder recovery and healing your own relationship with food in your body, it's important to remember that your child is not recovering from your eating disorder past, or again, from your childhood that may have had many difficult experiences around food in your body. And this is something really important to remind yourself of when you are experiencing distress around how your child's eating or your child's body size, you know, remembering that you have to separate that, right? Like, your stuff is not your child's stuff. And the more that we can kind of tell ourselves that, the easier it is for us to exist in that space and be able to manage our own discomfort. You know, recognizing, like, my child is their own person and their own body, and I'm learning to trust their body, and I'm learning to extend that trust to my child. And again, those messages and those kind of affirmations that you're telling yourself are so monumental for shifting the cycle of food guilt and body shame. And a couple other things to just consider as you're going through this is, you know, focusing on the connection piece. When you find yourself, like, wanting to move into that food policing or micromanaging role, it's really easy to get stuck in kind of like the minutiae of what your child is eating or not eating, or, you know, we get stuck in this, like, vortex of this micromanagement piece. And a really important way to shift out of that is to keep the connection piece at the forefront of your engagements around food with your child. You know, remembering that it is about connection. It's not about the food. I mean, food is important, obviously, right? But it's connection over nutrition, and trusting that when we put that piece first, good nutrition naturally follows. And this is really, you know, very true for our kids when we talk about like supporting them and building positive experiences around food naturally leads to healthier outcomes. And so I want you to think about that and just consider, how can I connect more to my child, especially when I'm finding myself moving into this space of wanting to micromanage how they eat or what they eat. You know, remembering like that connection piece and coming back to that can help you shift away from that in order to better support your child and also help yourself move through some of the discomfort that you're feeling. And there's some different ways to do that, you know, and it all depends on your family and your individual needs. And, you know, the unique things that make you tick and that encourage that connection piece in your family. But, you know, simple things like finding, like, these are just ideas that I have and that have worked for my family too, but, you know, focusing on anything but the food at mealtimes. And sometimes we'll play little games together at the table as a family. Like, my kids love playing 20 questions where somebody will think about like a character or, you know, a person or some kind of thing from a movie. And we all have to go around asking questions to figure out what that is. You know, little things like that, especially at mealtimes, especially if you find yourself feeling super anxious or you find those triggers really intensifying at mealtimes, like finding different ways to connect with your kids around mealtime so that it can diffuse some of that tension and again pivot the focus of the meal from being about this micromanaging food policing to connection. Another fun idea is, you know, keeping a little mason jar next to your family's food table and, you know, putting some questions on a piece of paper and sticking them in the jar, like conversation starters. Like, if you could be any superhero, who would you be and why? Or if you could have any magical power, what would it be and why? Like, and again, these are things that you can tailor to your family and your children's ages and the interests of your children. But when we can create these positive experiences around mealtimes, sometimes I think it's more for us as parents because it really kind of helps us get out of our own head, and it can be so grounding, especially if a lot is coming up for you or surfacing for you when it comes to how your child is eating. And if you are aware that there's triggers surfacing around your child's eating behaviors or body sizes too. Other things can be like having, you know, affirmations or little mantras that you tell yourself, like as a way for self-soothing or just a way to ground yourself when you're finding yourself feeling really triggered. And one simple one that I love that has been so helpful for me is just telling yourself, like, I can trust my child, and actually saying their name in there, like writing it on a piece of paper where you can see it and remind yourself of that. That is such a beautiful message. And even if you feel like it's not true yet, it can be true as you focus on that and learn to internalize this belief, right? To rewrite the narrative. And sometimes that can feel really challenging, again, because of the internalized belief that your body couldn't be trusted, right? It's really hard, again, to extend to our kids what we haven't believed yet for ourselves, but it doesn't mean that that's not possible to recreate or to rewrite or to unlearn, you know? So keeping these mantras at the forefront of your mind, telling yourself these things, like finding ways to ground yourself before you go into a situation that you know may be potentially triggering, and finding ways to, you know, cope with some of the triggers that are coming up for you. Because the whole point of this is not to escape ever feeling triggered. Again, like I said, triggers are often clues of things that are coming up for us that are connected to deeper issues that we still need to give some TLC. So the goal is to not ever be triggered. But again, to learn how to manage our triggers and the discomfort that may be associated with the triggers that we're experiencing. So those are just some examples. And again, I'd love to get into this topic more. So if this conversation resonates with you and you are interested in learning more about anything that I talked about today, please let me know. You can always connect with me over on Instagram at Crystal Cargis or via email. Send me an email at hello@crystalcargis.com. Share your thoughts with me. Tell me when you feel triggered or what comes up for you, or if you're interested in learning, like what are some better coping skills to manage, again, that discomfort that's coming up for you so that it's not getting projected onto your child. And as we kind of close for today, I just want to share two things. One is I just want to encourage you to give yourself so much compassion as you navigate this. You may be listening to this and feel like, oh my gosh, I have projected so much shame or so much mistrust or, you know, so many negative feelings onto my child, and I must be screwing them up royally at this point. And I want to encourage you to remember that the work that you're doing matters. You're listening to this because, again, you care. You want to learn how to do things differently, and no one is perfect. And so many of us are unlearning so many things that we grew up believing about ourselves and our bodies. And on top of that, we're learning how to do things differently that we never had modeled for us. And in that lens, it's important to give yourself grace for the journey. And again, to alleviate any shame, because you cannot heal, you cannot move through these experiences if you're constantly shaming yourself as you navigate this. And so I hope you can hear this gentle encouragement, Mama, that you are doing an incredible job. And it's hard. This whole process is hard. It's not easy. And you're not alone as you're navigating it. And again, just move through it as compassionately as you can. And think about your younger self and all the things that you may have needed growing up, especially around food and your body, that you didn't experience. And you're learning how to give not only your child those things, but to give yourself those things as well. So please go gently with yourself. This is not easy. The second thing I just want to kind of end with here is acknowledging that sometimes you may need more support around this. And this is something I certainly experienced for myself. But if you are identifying that there's some major triggers coming up for you, or it's a reoccurring thing, or you're finding that you don't know how to cope through some of the triggers or the distress that you're feeling, that may be an indicator that you could use some extra support around that. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually an amazing thing to have extra help. And especially if you had trauma around food or your body and are finding it really challenging or difficult to navigate some of these similar issues with your own child. Again, that parallel processing. It can be really difficult to manage your triggers or work through them, you know, if you never had any therapeutic or healing support through the things that you experience. And so I just want to put that out there that sometimes it can feel bigger than us. And you know, that's not your fault. It's not your fault. And, you know, sometimes it looks like talking to a counselor or a therapist or just connecting with other people who can understand the experiences that you've been through. And so I just want to put that out there, because sometimes we put all this pressure on ourselves to figure it out. And sometimes it's beyond what we can do ourselves. And that doesn't mean that you're not strong enough, that you're not doing a good enough job. It just means that sometimes we need extra help. And of course, we have our free virtual support group for moms in eating disorder recovery. So if you feel like you could use more community, definitely come hang out with us there. It's called Lift the Shame. I will include the link to that in the show notes as well. But as always, if I can do anything to help support you on your journey, I just want you to know that I'm here for you too. And I so appreciate you being here and being part of this community of parents who are rewriting our feeding legacy for our kids so they can experience freedom from food guilt and body shame. And that is possible because of you, Mama, and the brave work that you are doing. So hang in there and just know that you're not alone and you are doing a wonderful job. I will see you next week, Mama. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lift the Shame podcast. For more tips and guidance on your motherhood journey, come connect with me on Instagram @CrystalCargis. Until next week, Mama, I'll be cheering you on. Bye for now.